Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So my name's Philip, and it really is a privilege to be sharing with you, and just been really looking forward to sharing today. We continue in our series of sermons from the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew, and today we come to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. So if you've got a Bible with you, I really encourage you to pick that up, and we'll read that section of Scripture just very shortly. Just like to pause in prayer again, though, as we come to read God's word. Dear God, as we come to open your word, we remember before you your words. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Dear God, may these words and the words of the Lord Jesus that we examine today find the fullness of this promise for us, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. So we take up Matthew 6 and at verse 5, but we will start and just recall from last week verse 1, because that really starts the new theme that Jesus is teaching on here recorded in Matthew. And so verse 1 of chapter 6, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." So Jesus has set the scene for some teaching that is about being sincere in our walk with the Lord. And at verse 5, he launches into his teaching about prayer. "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So Jesus takes up the subject of prayer. And he is wanting his people, his followers who walk with him and will follow him to be sincere and indeed simple in their prayers. And so he records a prayer for us. And I mean, one of the great, very great treasures of Scripture are those prayers recorded and people who pray. And they become inspirational for us, and they become instructional for us. I think of Hannah and the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel. So Hannah has a great longing to have a child. Her great anguish in life is that she is now of older age and childless. And as was their habit, her and her family would go annually to the temple to worship. And she would bow down and she would pour out, silently pour out her heart to God, her anguish, to be with child, to be a mum. And it records there that the priest, Eli, looks at her and he doesn't hear her prayer. It explicitly says that she was praying in silence, and all the priest could see was her lips moving, and he figured that she was drunk. It tells her to go on her way. And Hannah says, oh no, I'm seeking the Lord. And the Lord hears her. It makes me think of Jesus, who says, don't use lots of words in front of others, but go to your room and shut your door and pray in secret. That assurance that our quiet prayers, our heartfelt prayers, the prayers in our mind which we would only dare pray in the secrecy of our heads and our minds, that the Lord hears our prayer. And as we pray with sincerity and humility, the Lord hears us. Well, Hannah is an inspiration. I think of Nehemiah. And so in Nehemiah chapters 1 and 2, we have two great examples of prayer, in fact. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah hears, he asks after the exiles who have returned to Jerusalem, and he finds out that the place is in disarray. There's no gates and the walls are broken down, and he's completely anguished. He's depressed. And he pours out his heart to God. There's a lengthy prayer where he remembers before God, God, these are your promises. And this is what we're expecting from you. Where are you right now, God? And we get the sense in which he is just so low. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king. And as much as he would rather not, he has this deep, depressive disposition before the king. And the king says, what is wrong? In Nehemiah chapter 2, we have another example of prayer. And so it goes a little bit like this. The king says, Nehemiah, what is wrong? Nehemiah says, and so I prayed, and then I said. And there's this kind of arrow shot prayer to heaven. And the Lord hears. And the Lord answers. And Nehemiah is released to be a great leader to rebuild not just some walls, but the very people of God. And that arrow shot prayer to heaven is on the basis of that heart poured out to God in secret prayer. But what it is, as Jesus would be so quick to remind us, it was sincere and it was humble and it was simple before the Lord. And Nehemiah is an inspiration. A couple of weeks ago, or last month, I was preaching and used the illustration of King Jehoshaphat. As he was in this great moment of need, there was these warring armies that had mounted together and were coming to Jerusalem. He doesn't know what to do. He pours his heart out to God. He realizes that he has a place of leadership at that moment, so it's not an in-secret prayer. But it needed to be a prayer in front of the people because the people needed to be brought before God. And he remembers before God his promises. And that desperately searching and so simple but honest prayer, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Searching, simple, sincere, heartfelt and honest. And Jesus, I know, would say, Jehoshaphat's prayer, that's for us too. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat's an inspiration. I'll tell you another prayer in Scripture which I find inspiring. It's Psalm 88. Now, of course, the Psalms, they are a collection of prayers. But I would rate Psalm 88 at one of the heights because it takes us to the very depths. So many prayers, I like the song we sung earlier, God who lifts us out of the storm. Or many of the Psalms, they start low and they take us to a place of exultant prayer. Psalm 88 is different. It starts low and it finishes low. And as I've heard people reflect on it, I remember somebody saying how much they just struggle with it because it doesn't lift you. It stays so low. And yet, I think there's something so beautiful about that. Just check in on some of those words. Psalm 88, verse 14, O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death, from my youth up, I suffer your terrors, I am desperate. And on it goes. It starts low, it finishes low. It was hard to imagine someone who was at a greater emotional depth. And yet, what does this person do? They pray. And who is there to answer and to hear those prayers? God. And that's where I would put this at a spiritual height, because it tells us that when we're at our emotional depth, what must we do? Pray. And who will be with us in that place? God. And who is welcoming our prayers? God. Verse 13, but I, O Lord, cry out to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. I hear in this prayer that this person is in the habit of praying. Each morning they wake up and they pray, and on this morning they find themselves at such emotional depths. But because they have that pattern of life, that rhythm of prayer, they come to God, and what is it? Honest. What is it? Sincere. And what does God want from us? Sincerity and honesty. What a beautiful prayer. It's an inspiration and a reminder to us that when we're in that depth, what should we do? Pray. And who will hear us? God. Psalm 88 is a treasure and an inspiration. And so in Matthew 6, we're given another prayer, and it comes to us as an inspiration, an instruction for us. And not only that, it sounds really important, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who says, pray then in this way. And yet we might pause and say, oh yes, this is important. Now I wonder, do we actually give it a fair go? I wonder, in our church tradition, does it get that level of importance that it perhaps should? You see, our church tradition is that which has been called over the years as the free church tradition. The idea of free church came about 400 years ago when a group of people wanted to break away from those state religions, like the Church of England or the Church of Rome. And what they didn't like about those state religions was that there was a lot of enforcement. It was confining. You learned how to pray by picking up a prayer book. And you learned when to pray by opening the prayer book at the right time and reading the prayers. And there are people who said, no, absolutely not. What is most important is our personal faith, our drawing near to God. We can pray. And so the prayer book is ditched. Formal liturgies are ditched. And there's an inspirational, spontaneous, extemporaneous commitment to worship. Personal faith became most important in the free church. That's our tradition. And it influences profoundly 400 years later. So there are traditions like the Church of England, Anglicanism, the Church of Rome, Catholicism, where you'll go and worship and you will not turn out the door again without having said the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer may or may not get a feature in our worship, but more often not. We come to it today because last week we preached on the passage before, and then when we carry on, we'll preach on the passage afterwards, and so today happens to be Matthew chapter 6, and verse 5 to 15, and that's the Lord's Prayer. And is that okay? What's more, we are also in that tradition, much more recently, of the last, say, 50 years of charismatic renewal. And the charismatic renewal was all about that inspiration and work of the Holy Spirit. And similarly, it was all about what is spontaneous and extemporaneous and what we can do now as the Spirit leads me. And therefore, we definitely don't need prayer books. I remember when would have been the 1980s, just a young fella, and I was at church, and a person rather awkwardly put the piece of paper out and apologised to the congregation that his prayer had been pre-prepared, because for some reason the Holy Spirit was more likely to inspire in the moment than beforehand. It was a confused theology, but it was very influential and remains to be. And so we pick up the Lord's Prayer today, and I wonder, actually, are we all that ready to stop and listen to it? Do we come from church traditions that actually pause and say, oh, I'm not sure about all this rote learning stuff? Isn't personal faith most important to us? If we pray this prayer every week, won't it become cold and predictable, and we're about inspirational and personal faith? And yet on the words of the very Lord Jesus, we hear, pray then in this way. And so it must be worthy of our attention. Which makes me a little bit worried. Because I come to preach on the Lord's Prayer, and I hear the essence of what Jesus is saying about going to your room and shutting the door and praying in secret. And I hear him say about not mounting up lots of words in front of others and being flashy and showy in your prayers. Jesus wants simple and he wants sincere. And it's my job to put some words around the Lord's Prayer, and I'm a little bit worried, well, am I going to actually complicate things when Jesus wants simple and sincere? So, what I want to do is actually boil it down a little bit. If we took the Lord's Prayer and we narrowed it down to just a couple of ideas, what would we be left with? How could we make this more simple still? Which actually Jesus does himself. Recorded in Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer is recorded again, but it's shorter. But means the same. So let's have a think. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our Father, this prayer is for those who know what this communion table means. They know that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. This is a prayer for people who can say, Our Father, because they've come to the Father through Jesus. Has that been your journey? Do you know that truth? Has that truth set you free? Do you know that your burden is laid down at the cross, that Jesus has forgiven you? This prayer is for you. We come to our Father. And not my Father, but ours. This prayer forces us to remember that it's not all about me. I pray to our Father, the Father of my marriage, the Father of my family, the Father of my church family, my nation and this world, our Father. Hallowed or holy be your name. To be holy is to be set apart. When we think about our personal holiness, we remember the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 6, to come out and be separate. Or the words of the writer to the Hebrews who says, lay aside the weight and the sin that clings so closely. When we lay that aside, we can be holy because we're set apart. But this prayer is about God's name being set apart and being holy. And it makes me think that actually Jesus has been reflecting on the Ten Commandments, and he wants that to impact our prayers. The Ten Commandments that say, have no other gods. There's one God set apart to be number one. Is God number one in your life? The Lord's Prayer takes you to that place of reflection. Is God number one? Similarly, our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. A kingdom is about God's reign, his authority, his way, his priorities. Is God's agenda your agenda? What's most important to God, is that most important to you? I roll on just a few paragraphs in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching about not getting worried about things. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what you wear, but rather seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. God, who knows our needs, will make sure that we're clothed and fed. Our concerns are to make God's priorities our priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's his reign, his authority, his priorities. What's important to him becomes most important to us. Your kingdom come. And my priorities, God's priorities? Is God truly number one? Praying the Lord's Prayer in honesty and sincerity will take us to that point of reflection. As well, that third request, your will be done. I reflect on God's will and I realize that I'm actually a bit conflicted, because there's a lot of stuff that I want in the world. I pause and I think about, I wonder what my earning potential is. Well, if I had my ideal working environment, it would be this. And I wonder if I, you know, my career was shaped in this way, what positions of responsibility I could get to. None of those things are actually wrong, apart from the fact that they may not be God's will. And ouch! Because I want to pray about those things a whole lot. But the Lord's Prayer tells me that I'm actually praying about God's will and not mine. And that actually may have nothing to do with my earning potential, my positions of responsibility, or my ideal working environment. And I'm actually wondering if I actually want to pray the Lord's Prayer. Because I've just got a whole other list of categories. It's actually really hard to pray this prayer if you truly want sincerity and honesty before God. So here's another thought. Psalm 57, verse 2, and Psalm 138, verse 8, it's the same. It says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. This is troublesome, because it says that actually God will go about his will for my life regardless of how I might want to cram in a whole lot of other priorities. And so I need to be reminded, actually, I need to make my agenda God's agenda, or else it might be quite an uncomfortable journey as God fulfills his purpose for me. The Lord's Prayer is actually really hard to pray if you want sincerity and honesty before God. To stop and say, your will be done. Is God number one in your life? That's my first question for you as we pray the Lord's Prayer. To make this simple and honest, is God number one in your life? Or do you have a lot of other number ones that you would quietly like to lay aside godly priorities as well? We come to that second group of three requests. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, lead us not into temptation. Give us today our daily bread may not feature for us very much. We may not see it as important at all, because actually our fridge is chock-a-block and our pantries are full and we've ordered our shopping online. It's going to turn up tomorrow night. So don't worry about that one, God. We're all good. And when I think of that prayer, give us today our daily bread, I remembered that actually I cram in a whole lot of other stuff that's way above daily bread. And I'm challenged to think about, am I truly content with what I have? Or are there a whole lot of things that I want that actually squeeze out God? I was reflecting on Hebrews 13, which says, so simply, be content with what you have. Oh, Lord, I just want those tramping boots. Be content with what you have. And it goes on and it says, do not be lovers of money. And so I'm prayerfully reflecting on this passage of Scripture. And so I say to God, don't be lovers of money. God, I couldn't possibly be a lover of money. I haven't got any. It's not the most reverential prayer I've ever prayed. It was at least honest. The passage goes on, "Do not be a lover of money, but hear the words of the Lord who says, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that you may say, I need not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" And I realize that actually, as much as I might find it a little bit hard to have a free bit of spare cash, I actually put a lot of faith in my money for security. And I stop on Hebrews 13 and I think, ouch, I'm a lover of money, because I find my personal security in having a reliable source of income and not in a God who gives me my daily bread. I'm actually finding the Lord's Prayer very, very hard. To be truly honest and truly sincere before God, do I seek Him for my daily bread, or do I seek my personal strength and having a reliable job that gives me a reliable source of income that gives me that sense of security for every day? Or am I truly free to say, Lord, give me today my daily bread? The Lord's Prayer is hard. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When I think about these verses, I'm reminded of the nature of God. In Lamentations 3, it says, great is the steadfastness of the Lord, His mercies are never ending. His mercies are new every morning. Reminds me that God has a pattern of life. He has a rhythm. And it's in the morning to be merciful. And that's an encouragement for us all. That's God's rhythm for life. It's His pattern. It's what He does. And for us who are followers of God, well, that is to be our rhythm too. That is to be our pattern for life. That we make a daily habit of forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, O Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us. I remember that we are to be in that pattern, forgiving, Lord, as we are forgiving. Forgiving us, Lord, thank you, that we may now be forgiving also. Are you in that habit of forgiving? You see, if we are holding a grudge, if we are finding it desperately hard to be forgiving and find ourselves moving away from a person or people out of relationship, we might also find ourselves moving away from God also, because we're out of step with Him. What will bring us back, of course, is saying, Lord, I know I'm forgiven in you. And now I need you and me so that I may live your pattern, so that I may be forgiving of this person and these people. The Lord's Prayer is hard. But it will bring us back to make sure that our life is in step with Him. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Think about those gifts of God, God's gift of human wisdom that reminds us that actually there's so much that we do in our lives to ensure that we're in that place of where we're not tempted. You see, if one of your temptations is to gossip about other people, talk about other people behind their backs to bring them down, you may find it most worthwhile to avoid people that encourage you to talk in that way. Or to put things in place to ensure that when you're with that person, that maybe it's with another group of people, that you won't gossip. And that you have a pattern of life that means that you're not in that place of temptation. There's a lot of people who find that late afternoon time very difficult. Coming home from work after school, and it becomes a trigger point for anger and frustration and unkindness. Especially that transition back from a hard work day to a busy home evening. And are there patterns that you can put in place to ensure that anger doesn't erupt and that peace may reign? What is that pattern of life that you can have so that you can avoid those temptations to anger, bitterness, and bringing down so that you can build up God's good human wisdom, in order that we are led not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil? There are, of course, many, many applications to these ideas about forgiveness and not being led into temptation. But I hear in these words God's pattern for life, his rhythm, about being in step with him, and he wants us to have those rhythms also. Like the passage earlier about giving. Are we in that weekly, monthly pattern of giving to God? Are we, and is that fresh and alive for us and not an expression of legalism? Let's take the best of our church traditions about personal faith and make sure that our giving is free and generous and joyful and not legalistic or bitter or out of our expendable income. Are we in that pattern, that rhythm for life? Are you in that pattern, that rhythm of life that is God gives us 6 days to work and a day to rest so that we can sustain the busyness and the routine of life? Are you in step with God? I think the Lord's Prayer takes us to these places of reflection. When I was a teenager, my mum and dad, we had a house with a big basement underneath, and they made a stuck in a bedroom in this big basement area that was to be my bedroom. It was the 80s. I thought I was so trendy and original. I painted these big diagonal grey and pink stripes, and I thought I was so cool. I was such a child of my times. Anyway, we're decorating, and we had this slab of carpet that we're going to put down, and me and Dad are looking at it, and we're measuring it up, and we've got it all sweet, and we cut the lines perfectly straight, and we lay it all down. And on one corner, it was exactly right. And that perfectly straight line, by the time you got to the other corner, there was a big, ugly gap. I think, you know, we walk with God and we feel really close. But if our life is not in that rhythm and that pattern with God, we find ourselves drifting. And there becomes an ugly gap, which is called sin and distance from God. The way that we stay away from that ugly gap called sin is that we walk with God's rhythms and his patterns for life. That is, his mercies new every morning. Being in those places and with those people who will lead us not into temptation because God directs us. Being in that place where we're checking ourselves all the time. Am I content with what I have, or am I cramming my life with a whole lot of other priorities? The Lord's Prayer. Let's take the best of our tradition, which is about personal faith, about a living relationship with a living God, and make it sincere and make it honest. And ask ourselves some really honest questions. Is God number one in my life? And am I walking in step with God? And then let us pray with that sincerity and honesty that the Lord is looking for. So let's pause and let's pray. If you could say one thing to the Lord right now in the secrecy of your mind, what would it be? Let's have a moment of quiet for our sincere and honest approach before the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a living God who has given us a living faith. Strengthen us, Lord, to draw near to you just as you desire, and have taught us through the words of our Lord Jesus this day that we would be sincere, humble, honest before you. May it be in our worship together. May it be in our quiet places of prayer, wherever that may be. May it be in our homes and families. Indeed, may it be in our nation. For your glory we pray. Amen.